Last week we finished our study looking at briefly at some of the major events in the life and book of Jeremiah. We ended with King Jehoiakim and the episode of his dramatic act of burning the scroll. And the message was, you can't burn the Word of God. It is absolutely non-flammable. And when you try to burn the Word of God, what you succeed in burning is yourself. This week, we begin our brief exploration of the book of Ezekiel. We're going to look at the story of the call of Ezekiel, which we find in the first three chapters. We're going to just look at the end of that story. And interestingly enough, it's a story that has another scroll, again, containing and symbolizing God's word for his people. And I have to tell you, I did not plan this. This was kind of an interesting sudden awareness to me as I began to look more carefully at the text for this week. We had a scroll last week, and we have a scroll this week. And I wish I could say, I actually planned it that way, but I did not. So I have something better to say, I think. Somebody else planned it that way. And it's interesting because these two scrolls set up an amazing, striking contrast. Ezekiel was a contemporary of King Jehoiakim, but he was a very different man, and he treated his scroll much differently. Instead of burning his scroll, he ate it. And here's the message, I think, at least the first of sort of a two-part message from this story of the call of Ezekiel. As we get more of God into us, we find that God is getting more of us into him. Instead of burner burnt, this is swallower swallowed. And while this may seem kind of like that dog eat dog proverb that we all have heard, it's a dog eat dog world out there, or perhaps a working out of that big fish eating little fish while unbeknownst to him he's being eaten by a bigger fish still. Perhaps you've seen those posters. It is something far deeper and far better when we're talking about God and us. To be swallowed by God is not to be consumed or stripped of all meaning other than food for something else. It is to be made alive, made new. It is to discover the new world where the eternal riches of our real meaning and security and adventures are found. It is to be caught up into the eternal life and love, the creative beauty and breath, the shared wonder and wildness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is to move out of the dark, self-inflicted dungeons of sin and selfishness and despair and death, and into the glorious light of redemption and restoration where all things are made new. So how do we swallow God's word? Well, how about by reading it, meditating on it, memorizing it? How about by going to Bible studies and joining small groups? How about by attending worship as a Lord's Day Sunday necessity rather than simply a weekend option? How about by teaching Sunday school, helping with Pioneer Club, serving as a youth ministry team volunteer, staff member? Are these not good ways that we, like Ezekiel, are faithfully swallowing God's word into our lives? And then can we see all of this as part of how God himself is graciously swallowing us into his eternal life? Ezekiel ate the scroll, as we shall see. He swallowed the word. And as he did, God was swallowing him. Ezekiel ate the scroll. He is perhaps the most difficult of the Old Testament prophets to read and understand. Any of you who've tried to wade through the book of Ezekiel, you know what I'm talking about. He has weird visions. Visions of strange creatures and thrones and chariots and wheels within wheels and dry bones in a desert. He doesn't tell us much about himself or his circumstances, just enough to know that he was speaking to people in exile just before and after the fall of Judah to the Babylonians. Ezekiel ate the scroll. He can be seen, and many commentators point this out about him, as the prophet most completely emptied of himself and presented most thoroughly as an unadorned vessel simply containing the Word of God. Ezekiel ate the scroll. Piecing together the sparse information, it seems this strange prophet was among the early group of Jewish aristocrats taken from their homes and relocated in Babylon along with King Jehoiakim, who was the son of King Jehoiakim, the scroll burner king. King Jehoiakim, with an N, he lasted about 3 months before the Babylonians removed him as part of a taking of really the brightest and best out of Judah and taking him to Babylon to be part of their empire and to help them run things. God uses Ezekiel in Babylon to tell his people that the coming final destruction of their nation and temple is a moral necessity because of their immorality and unfaithfulness. The people, not surprisingly, don't want to hear this and remain stubborn in the face of the catastrophe they are living through. Nevertheless, Ezekiel has his visions, hears from God, and obediently shares what he is told. Later, after Judah and its last king, Zedekiah, are crushed by the Babylonian invaders, Jerusalem is sacked, and the temple is destroyed, Ezekiel shares God's message of hope. God is still on the move for and with his people. Most of the people now are too depressed and angry and maybe self-righteous to hear from this God who has failed so miserably to live up to their expectations and do their bidding. Nevertheless, Ezekiel has his visions, hears from God, and obediently shares what he is told. Ezekiel ate the scroll. What God has fed him, he offers to others, whether or not they are hungry for truth and righteousness. So we see the truth in the life and message of Ezekiel, the truth of God. As we get more of God into us, we find that God is getting more of us into himself. Rather than succumbing to the natural temptation of being a burner burnt, how much better to be a swallower swallowed. And in this process, we see another important message begin to materialize like a vision from heaven before us. As we choose to reveal God and his truth to others, he is revealing the truth that we belong to him and are blessed by him. Revealer revealed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this time we have together here to equip us together to be those who are wise, faithful, to be those swallowing your word. And Lord, I pray that you would be equipping us here today to be those who reveal what you have shown us, what we enjoy in you, what we celebrate in you, what we believe in you. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be these kind of revealers. And we're grateful that even in that process, you're revealing the greater truth that we are your people, that you are our God, that we are people destined for eternal life in Jesus Christ and enjoying that life here and now. We pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, let's take a look at our text for today. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9 through chapter 3, verse 27. I'm going to read the story. It's the end of the story. The first part, chapter 1, and the other part of chapter 2 is largely these amazing visions that Ezekiel has. You can go back and read them for yourself. But then there's this encounter. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. And he said to me, Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound. May the glory of the Lord be praised in his dwelling place. The sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit, with the strong hand of the Lord upon me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv near the Kibar River, and there where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. The hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, Get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain, and the glory of the Lord was standing there like the glory I had seen at the Kibar River, and I fell face down. Then the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. He spoke to me and said, Go, shut yourself inside your house. And you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be silent and unable to rebuke them, though they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Whoever will listen, let him listen. And whoever will refuse, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. Revealer revealed. God says Ezekiel is to be a watchman for his people. He is to give warning for God's people. When there is a wolf, he is to cry, Wolf! When wicked men do the wicked things there that are consistent with their character, Ezekiel is to cry with God, You will surely die! Stop it! He is not to, quote, mind his own business. He will not be able to ask innocently, like guilty Cain tried to do concerning his murder victim, Abel, Am I my brother's keeper? God says he will hold Ezekiel accountable if he does not sound the alarm. Ezekiel will not be accountable for the wicked man's actions, but for his own. He must rise to offer faithful warning. He must not fall into faithless silence. God, in this encounter, is more concerned with what Ezekiel reveals about God and with his willingness to do so than with his effectiveness in getting wicked people to repent. And God is telling Ezekiel that as he functions as God's revealer, he himself will be revealed. Then God says, when righteous men do wicked things that are less consistent with their character, the exact same responsibility rests upon Ezekiel, in whom and from whom the word of God is to be found. Ezekiel then, listen, is not asked to decide whether people are wicked or righteous in their inner selves. He doesn't need to know what God knows. He simply must say what God says. Ezekiel is not called to determine who really needs the warning and who doesn't. He is to be an equal opportunity watchman, warning everyone about their sin and its deadly consequences. He doesn't need to know what God knows. He simply must say what God says. And he is given no earthly justification for his failure to exercise his heavenly duty. He will not be able to say, I knew they were wicked and wouldn't listen. Nor will he be able to say, I knew they were righteous and would figure it out for themselves. Ezekiel will reveal God's truth, and God will reveal Ezekiel. Not by his effectiveness or success, but by his unyielding and hard-headed faithfulness to God. Revealer revealed. Anybody else hearing this? You know, I remember when I was trying to figure out what to do for sermons in the fall, and with all the crises facing our church and all the crises facing our nation, and was wondering, gosh, should we focus on issues in sermons, in worship? I mean, I'd planned to preach on the major prophets. One of our elders said to me, major prophets? Have you read them? Pretty contemporary stuff. And so I said, all right, you know, I think you're right. Let's just go through the major prophets and let them speak to us. And what I'm finding, and I hope you're finding as well, is these folks from hundreds and hundreds of years ago are speaking right to our time today and to us here in Reno, Nevada in 2011, aren't they? This is not comfortable. Ezekiel's responsibility to speak against sin and wickedness in his day. We're like Ezekiel, aren't we? It's not enough for us to be good little boys with Jesus in our closet. We are called to tell the truth out into the world. And it doesn't matter whether people listen to us or not, whether people like what we say or not. We must speak the truth. And some of that truth is truth about sin that is destroying people. Sin that is defined by God, not by us. In a world that says, mind your own business, and who's to say what sin is? We have an answer. Not us, and not you, God. And he's given us everything we need through the prophets and the apostles, and especially in Jesus. Are we hearing this? They say God's word is supposed to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. Aren't we all called to be God's revealers? Didn't Jesus say this? Mark 16:15-16. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Is God going to hold us accountable in Ezekiel-like fashion, not only for what we say, but also for what we don't say? Have we ever considered that our faithful, hard as flint response to Jesus' command, or our ignoring of it, is God's revelation of us, non-revealer revealed? What we choose to reveal reveals who we are. And if we are willing to reveal the truth of God, as He commands us to do, He is revealing the truth of us. These are my people. They belong to me. You should listen to them. You should join them. Today, having read Ezekiel, I am troubled that we are not troubled so much by so many things that happen in our city. We shrug our shoulders and say, "That's just Reno." Is Reno our town? Or does it only belong to the big money gambling and entertainment interests? Do we live here? If this is literally one hell of a town, it is one that is being invaded by heaven through the conspicuous presence and humbly yet confidently raised voices of God's people. People like us. Are we God's people or not? Are we worried that if we don't have a permissive stance on strip clubs and gambling and billboards, we might not have enough money to afford our cable TV services? Is that who we are? Are we worried that the God-inspired truth we share will be seen merely and dismissed quickly as religious opinion, and that we will be revealed through the dark glasses of the world as religious bigots? Should we be equally or more concerned that our silence and apathy might be revealing us as faithless cowards in the pure light of God, and that He will hold us accountable for our failure to speak up when He calls us to do so? Speaking up against sin in Reno? We've got better things to say, don't we? God is love. Jesus died for you. We're all sinners saved by grace. Trust God and live forever. Yes, and we do say these things over and over and over. But apparently, unless we dismiss most of the work and words of God's major prophets like Ezekiel, God also wants us to speak against sin and evil. And it seems that this judgmental word of God's utter intolerance for evil is connected to the gracious word of God's unstoppable love for us. Speaking up against sin in Reno? It's an exercise in futility, isn't it? Maybe. Maybe not. Apparently, if we take this story of Ezekiel seriously, it sort of depends on who people are in their inner selves. But only God knows who they are. If we speak to the wicked, and they are truly wicked, they will hate what we say and they won't listen. But if we speak to someone else who looks exactly the same and is doing exactly the same things, but deep down they are righteous, they will hear and they will turn, and we will be used of God for the health and wholeness, vitality and salvation of others. And we know that God calls us, like Ezekiel, to receive and know and make part of us His word of truth. And we might now suspect that He commands us to tell what we know, to share who we are in Him. And Ezekiel might have made it a little clearer that we are to speak up even if nobody listens. God is good. Trust Him. Sin is bad. Stop it. And as we reveal God and His truth to others, He reveals Himself and He reveals His truth about us. You are mine forever. And this happens regardless of how other people respond to him or to what we say. And we are told by God to speak to others about their sin as we have opportunity. And if we do not, God will hold us accountable for our cowardice and unfaithfulness. Anybody else uncomfortable? Get in line behind me. When we swallow the word of God, we are swallowed into his life and love. Then, as we choose to reveal God and his truth to others, regardless of how they choose to respond, God is revealing the truth that we belong to and are blessed by him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that blesses us, that stretches us, that challenges us, that tells us who we are, but also tells us who we need to be. Your word, Lord, that tells us that you love us, you save us, you are with us, you bless us just as we are. Your word that tells us that you love us too much to leave us this way. Your word and your love that calls us to love others the same way, just as they are, but always also too much to leave them stuck in their sin. Lord, help us. We need it. Lord, help us to continue to be your people, swallowers swallowed and revealers revealed. We pray these things in your name and for your sake.